Welcome to The Human Side of Money, a show dedicated to equipping financial advisors with the skill set required to work with emotional human beings on the emotionally charged topic of money. You'll get practical tips and insights on applying behavioral finance into your practice from conversations with fellow advisors, industry consultants, and experts in the fields of behavior, psychology, communication, and more. Each episode is designed to help you enhance client outcomes and forever change the trajectory of your advisory business. Now, here's your host, Brendan Frazier.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Human Side of Money, where every minute of every episode and every conversation is designed to make both your clients and your practice infinitely better off. Anything less is simply unacceptable. Today is going to be our last solo episode for a while. Now, the good news is we've got a pretty awesome lineup of guests already in the queue, ready to go for basically the rest of the year. And I can't wait for you guys to see who some of these people are that we have on. But the reason that I wanted to do one more solo episode is because I realized that if somebody were to ask me, hey, Brendan, what's the number one thing? If somebody came to you and they said, you have 30 minutes, you could teach one thing, one principle that you think will have the biggest impact on an advisor's relationships with their clients in their practice, what would it be? I realized that the answer to that question was something that I've never talked about on this show ever before, and that felt weird, and it kind of felt wrong. And so for the last solo episode for the foreseeable future, I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about exactly what that is. And that thing is the first meeting that you have with a prospective client. It's the prospect meeting. It's the intro meeting. It's the first meeting. Whatever it is that you want to call it, here's what we know. That meeting is the lifeblood of an advisory business. It's either the single most expensive or the single most profitable activity that you'll ever engage in, or those people that work at your firm will ever engage in as an advisor. And here's what's always blown my mind about that. Here's what's always shocked me about that. Here's why this is what I want to talk about. Is despite the fact that it's the lifeblood of an advisory business, despite the fact that it's the single most profitable or expensive activity that we'll ever engage in, here's the reality. There's a really good chance, 99% chance, that everything you've been taught about how to conduct that meeting is backwards. Let me explain. You are probably taught, if you're like most of us, something that goes like this. Number one, start off by building some connection and rapport. Get them to like you a little bit. And then after you do that, number two, ask about their goals and their fears. What is it they want to accomplish with their money? What is it that keeps them up at night? And once you find that out, then it kind of start explaining, conveying your expertise and explaining what it is that you do and the services that you provide. After you do that, tell a story about how you've worked with or helped somebody just like them. And after you do that, once you've been through those things, then just naturally close and ask for the business. And they'll be sitting there saying, please, when can I give you my money? That's the pretty standard operating procedure for these intro and prospect meetings. And if you're sitting there going, yeah, that's exactly what I've been taught, then here's what I also know beyond the shadow of a doubt, is you've also sat there and you've thought to yourself, man, I did everything right. I did everything that I was taught, and I've got nothing to show for it. You've probably heard things like, yeah, we'll get back to you. I'm going to talk to my wife. You've probably had people that have ghosted you and never followed up. And you're sitting there going, wait a minute, I did all the things that I was taught, all the things that I knew to do, and it still felt weird. It still didn't work. And here's why. There is a massive gap. And again, this is what I wanted to spend the last solo episode talking about. And you're going to hear it in my voice. I get pretty passionate about it. We get trained this way as an industry. And you're going to hear in a second why it's just simply not the best way to do things. There's a massive gap between what you've been taught, what we've been taught, and what psychology research tells us that a prospect and a prospective client actually needs. So that's what we're going to spend this conversation talking about. Is not how to do this meeting. We're going to go, hey, what is it that a prospect and a prospective client actually needs? And then let's reverse engineer that process to deliver exactly what it is they need. We're going to go through the five most important things to do that. The five most important things that you have to know and do in order to conduct the ultimate intro meeting. That's what I call it, the ultimate intro meeting, one that effortlessly converts your prospects to the next meeting in the process. So we're going to go over those things. But first, before we do that, I was at the NAPFA National Conference just a few weeks ago. Actually, just last week. And after I got done talking, I was talking a little bit about how the perfect plan is rendered useless in the absence of execution, and had somebody come up to me afterwards and they asked, hey, what do you think about Nudge? If you're not familiar, Nudge, K-N-U-D-G, the official partner of the show. Nudge is a technology platform that automates and takes over your follow-up process with prospects and clients. He goes, hey, what do you think about Nudge? And basically, I sat there and thought to myself, all right, I'm going to approach this a little bit differently. And I'm just going to ask the question this way. And part of the reason I said that is because I feel like it's obvious at this point that if you don't like doing follow-up, Nudge is a no-brainer. But then I thought, all right, well, if you're a financial advisor, you like math. And if Nudge is about $100 a month, roughly, depends, but if it's about $100 a month and you have it for 12 months, that's $1,200. If you don't like spending time sending emails and making phone calls to follow up with prospects and clients because you go, hey, that feels a little bit pestering and I know my time is best spent elsewhere. I know my time isn't best spent pestering the relationship, but building it in meaningful ways. All you need is one client or one prospect to follow through and do what you need them to do. And it basically pays for itself. $1,200. If you get one prospective client to become a client because you followed up with them, it'll essentially pay for itself if your average revenue per client is over $1,200. And I was sitting there explaining it to him, and I thought to myself, you know, sometimes we make this more difficult than it needs to be. I understand why he was asking the question. Is Nudge worth it? It's going to be an expense for my business. Is it worth it? And I sat there and I thought, you know what? At $1,200, there's very few things that'll be more worth it than that if you genuinely don't enjoy and don't like following up with prospects and clients to do the things that they need to do. Now, that being said, if you don't mind that, if you like that, if you like sitting there and typing out emails that say, hey, just following up with you to make sure that you've sent in your estate planning docs, hey, just following up with you to see if you made any decisions on this, then you should do it on your own. No doubt about it. But if you don't like that, you need to get Nudge, K-N-U-D-G-E, nudge.com. Go to the website. There's an orange button on the homepage to schedule a demo. There's an orange button to do a free trial. There's a place at the top that says for advisors where you can do a self-paced demo. If you talk to somebody, let them know you came from the show. They'll take good care of you. One other thing before we get going. We're about to go through these five things that will enhance your introductory meetings, your prospect meetings, your first meetings. And as we go through them, you're going to learn everything you need to know to take your meetings to another level. But if you think to yourself, hey, I kind of want to know this in more depth. I kind of want to go deeper. I just want to tell you that there is a course that I've built called the Ultimate Intro Meeting that goes into more depth and more how-to on every single one of these things. And if you're wondering, hey, is this legit? Is it worth it? As you're listening, if you're going, do these things actually work? It sounds good, but does it actually work? Is it worth the amount of money that goes into the course? Which, by the way, the course was priced to be a no-brainer from a price perspective. It's not a big moneymaker by any means. If you're wondering, hey, is it legit? The same conference I was at where the guy asked about Nudge, I had another advisor that came up and talked to me afterwards. And he said, hey, Brendan, I just want you to know that ever since I went through your Ultimate Intro Meeting course, I've had a close rate of about 99% ever since implementing the things that you taught me to do. Now, am I making that up? No. Am I saying that if you do the things in the course, you'll have a 99% close rate and success rate? No, absolutely not. But that being said, it gives you everything you need to elevate and enhance your prospect meetings, your first meetings, and your introductory meetings. And if you're sitting there going, hey, Brendan, yeah, thanks. This sounds like an advertisement for your course. I promise that it's not. So just to help offset that, if you're going, I want to know more about how to convert prospects to clients, but I don't want to feel like I'm being sold by Brendan, I get that. That's cool. go check out episode number 86. In episode number 86, what I did was I went back through the podcast and found the best episodes and the best quotes, the best guests on how to conduct an intro meeting, and compiled their wisdom into one episode. Episode 86 is a collection of wisdom to conduct the ultimate intro meeting. If you want to do it that way, that's totally fine. If you want a framework on how to conduct this meeting step by step, there will be a link in the show notes on the website and in your podcast player to the Ultimate Intro Meeting. Go check it out and see if it's worthwhile. All right, let's get into it. We need to go through these five things you need to know to conduct the Ultimate Intro Meeting. First things first, if we're going to conduct the Ultimate Intro Meeting, we need to get inside the prospect's mind. To conduct the ultimate meeting means you have to cater to what's going on in that person's mind. And there's a few things you have to know around the psychology of a prospect and what's going on inside the mind of a prospect. First and foremost, probably most importantly, we have to ask yourself, why are they here? The reality is, and this may be bad news for some of you, maybe a gut check for some of you. The reality is that literally nobody wakes up and says, hey, I have a free day on my calendar. The number one thing that I want to do today is go talk to a stranger about my money. Like if I had a blank slate, no, I would never say, yeah, I'd like to schedule a little time to go talk to somebody I've never met about one of the most personal sensitive issues in my life. And so if you have one of these meetings, you have to come back and remind yourself every single time, this person reached out for a reason. They didn't want to be here. They need to be here. There is something that prompted them to reach out. Number two, think about what they're feeling. Money's not something that people talk about with basically anybody else in their lives, even after a couple bottles of wine. They're feeling anxious. They're feeling uncertain. They're feeling a little bit vulnerable. We know that the number one cause of financial advisor anxiety from some of the research out there, first of all, financial advisor anxiety is a real thing. We need to know that and confront that and deal with that. The number one cause is lack of financial literacy and AKA jargon. Being talked over, being talked to in terms that they don't understand. They're there for a reason. They don't want to be there. Something prompted it. They're feeling anxious, uncertain, and vulnerable. Number three, and maybe the last, there's a couple points after this, but I think this is maybe the most important one I could try to hammer home from a prospect meeting perspective, and it's this. Nobody buys a plane ticket. They buy a destination. Nobody buys a plane ticket. They buy the destination. No prospect comes in and says, hey, I want to buy your knowledge and your service. The prospect comes in because they say, I have a destination that I need to get to. I have an outcome in mind. I have a problem that I need solved, and I need you to get me there. It's a tough pill for a lot of us to swallow, but as soon as you can grasp it, everything's going to change. Nobody buys the ticket, they buy the destination. Nobody's ever logged on to Southwest and gone, I want to buy a plane ticket today. Where should I go? No. They go, I need to get to that destination and I need to find an airline to get me there. And then if multiple airlines will go there, I want to find the one that provides the things that I'm looking for and the best service. Last thing to say on this is that people, human beings, they're motivated to cure pain. We aren't necessarily motivated by goals, by accomplishments. We are motivated by goals and accomplishments, but what's more motivating is the desire to cure pain. That's why Chris Voss, author of Never Split the Difference, says that 70% of buying decisions are made to avoid loss rather than to achieve gain. And so when you're going into this meeting with a prospect, just know that the destination that they're looking to, they're not buying the plane ticket, they're buying the destination, is most likely an outcome that they're looking to achieve or a problem that they're looking to solve. So remember all those things, but if you're going, hey, I just need a really simple, easy framework to conduct these meetings with, a really simple, easy framework to go, what is it that my prospects need? Just remember these three questions. Prospects are always asking themselves these three questions. Number one, do I like you? I don't know why I said that so weird, by the way. We'll just roll with it. Number one, do I like you? Number two, do I trust you? Number three, am I certain that you can solve my problem and or deliver the outcome that I'm looking for. They don't need to know how great you are. They don't need to know how awesome your process is. Their brain is literally wondering, hey, do I like you? Can I trust you? And how confident do I feel that you can solve my problem that I have or deliver the outcome that I'm looking for? I'm not here to buy a plane ticket. I'm here to buy the destination. And I want to feel confident that you can deliver me to that destination. That's what's going on in the prospect's mind. So from here on out, the next few things that we're going to talk about is how to design a prospect meeting experience that addresses all of those things going on in the prospect's mind, starting with the pre-meeting process. Like we said, these prospects are a little bit nervous, they're a little bit anxious, they're a little bit vulnerable. They don't know what to expect. Oftentimes they've never met with an advisor before. If they have met with an advisor before, they have one particular experience in their mind and they don't know if that's a normal experience or a common experience or not. Anxiety and uncertainty are not a comfortable place to be. Literally, our brain literally hates anxiety. It hates uncertainty. It'll do anything to alleviate it. So we need to help our prospects and our prospective clients alleviate the uncertainty, which means they need to know, what is it that I'm getting myself into in this meeting? Get me just a little bit of a picture, a little bit of a feel for what's going to be happening in this meeting so I can feel more comfortable going in, because I can go, okay, I know what it is that we're going to be talking about. They don't know how this meeting is going to go. Then their mind, they may think that you're going to sit there and ask them, hey, why is it that you spend so much money at Amazon? Why is it that you do these things? They just need to know, hey, what is it that we're going to be doing? What is it that we're going to be talking about? And if you can address that and paint that picture as clear as possible, it's going to lower their anxiety levels, lower the uncertainty levels. And if you can lower that without getting into all the brain and neuroscience behind it, you're going to have a much better conversation because they're going to be in a much more comfortable state. So how do you do that? Number of ways. Again, we go through all three of them in the course. The best way to do it is to send, prior to the meeting, some type of correspondence or make a phone call or send an email that outlines what's going to be happening. It could be an agenda, by the way, that outlines what's going to be happening in this meeting. It doesn't have to be in depth. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. It just needs to say, hey, here's what we're going to be doing in this meeting, so that they know, so that their brain knows what to expect when they show up for that meeting. It lowers anxiety levels. As you lower anxiety and stress, you improve the opportunity for trust and connection. So that's number two. Number one, we went inside the prospect's mind. Number two, we talked about how to prep the prospect for success by lowering their anxiety levels based on the fact that that's what they're feeling and experiencing in the moment. Next thing we need to do is go into the actual meeting itself and go through these last three things. So remember, you're in this meeting. The prospect goes, do I like you and do I trust you? Do I like you? Do I trust you? There's a number of ways to do this. A lot of ways to do it, actually. But once you're in the meeting, one of the most effective ways to get somebody to signal to themselves, I like that person, I trust that person, and I feel comfortable with that person, is effectively navigating what I call the trust zone. The trust zone is the first 5 to 10 minutes of any prospective client meeting, depending on the overall length. So for example, if we're talking about a 30-minute prospect meeting, this is probably the first 5 minutes. If you're talking about a 60-minute prospect meeting, this is probably the first 10 minutes, but it could be 5 to 10 minutes. And here's what it's like. If you've been on an airplane recently, you know, or you've seen or you felt that the majority of the work getting lifted off the ground, the majority of the work that goes into getting off the ground and going to where you want to go, happens when you're on the runway trying to lift off. And so these conversations, especially with prospects and clients, are like an airplane taking off. The hardest work that you're going to do to create an atmosphere of trust and connection happens at the very beginning. And if you can get this conversation off the ground, much like an airplane is taking off, your problem becomes not how do I get them to open up? Your problem becomes how do I get them to shut up, which sounds bad, but it's exactly where you want to be. You go ask any great interviewer of all time, hey, what's the secret to a great interview? How do I conduct a great interview? Here's what they're going to tell you. Oprah, there's another lady named Polina. Go find them. Go ask them. They're all going to tell you the same thing. The key is right out of the gate, asking them an easy question to answer, asking them a question that gets them out of their head and into their heart. And that creates conversational flow. So how do you, in the beginning, create conversational flow? How do you ask questions to get somebody out of their head and into their heart? Again, all this is in the course, but I'll give you a really easy way to think through it so you can take it and apply it tomorrow if you want to. You ask what we call 3E questions. Questions that are number one, easy to answer. Number two, exciting to answer. Number three, emotional. Ask questions that are easy to answer, have an exciting element, and they're emotional to answer. Oftentimes, they come from the past. So here are some examples. If you're wondering, what does that mean? What could that look like? I'm in Nashville. Meet with somebody, and I say, hey, it's good to meet with you. How did you end up in Nashville? I know a lot of people have been coming here over the years. I'm curious, how long have you been here? How did you end up here? Another one, if you work with business owners, you would say, you know, we've been working together for a while. I know you have this awesome business. You're killing it. One thing I've never thought to ask you before, or if you've never met him before, you go, one thing I'd love to know is, where did you even get the idea to start this business? It looks great now, but where were you when the idea popped into your head? Maybe you're working with couples. When you're working with couples, the question might be, you know, I want to ask you guys a question, if you don't mind. It's one of my favorite questions to ask. Curious how you two met. Give them the chance. That's easy to answer. It's exciting to answer because you get to talk about yourself and your past, and it has an emotional component. And if you can get people out of their head and into their hearts, you're going to open up the emotional floodgates that create conversational flow. Next thing. Now that you've created conversational flow, you got them out of their head, into their hearts. You've got them in a place where they're willing to open up and share and be vulnerable with somebody that they've never met and never talked to before about a subject like money that they don't even talk to with their best friends after a couple bottles of wine. Then the key is making sure you have a question framework lined up for the rest of the meeting to get, to receive, to elicit the most important information that you could have in this conversation. Now, in the course, we go through an entire question framework designed specifically for a reason. But if you're wondering, if there are two questions that I would say need to be asked in every single prospective client meeting, it's these two. First, and this is all right after the trust zone, right after you get them to open up, you transition the conversation. That's a whole other topic in the course as well. They're going to be talking. They're going to be telling you about things. And you're like, all right, how in the world do we revert this back to the point of the conversation? We call it a bridge statement. But once you get there, you ask two questions. First, some version of what prompted you to reach out. What prompted you to reach out? Could be what brings you in today. It could be what was on your mind when you reached out. The way that I like to ask it, which, by the way, this has to be, you have to do your own version, your own flavor. The way that I always like to ask it was this. I would say something like, you know, I realize that most people don't wake up and decide, hey, if I could do one thing today, I want to hang out with a financial advisor. I have a free slate, blank slate. This is the one thing I want to do. And I'm okay with that. But I do need to ask. And I'm curious, what prompted you to reach out if that's the case? All these questions lead to the same place. They go, hey, what is it that led you to reach out? You didn't have to do this today. You could have done any number of other things. I need to know what led you to reach out. There was something there. What was on your mind? And that's a great place to start. The next question is a very natural and effective follow-up question to that response. Eventually, maybe you don't ask it right away. Maybe you ask a little bit more. You do some follow-up questions around what they answer on what prompts you to reach out. But at some point, you come back to the second question. The second question is some version of why now? In other words, why now? What's happening now that brought you in for the first time? How long have you had this on your mind? Why'd you decide to reach out now? The way it can be any version of those. The way that I like to ask it was just to be pretty transparent and open. And again, you have to find what works for you. But it was basically this. It would be, you know, I realized that you could have reached out 2 months ago. You probably could have reached out 2 years from now. But here we are today. I'm curious, why now? Why not 2 months ago? Why not 2 years from now? what you're going to find is they're going to take that first answer they gave you and they're going to elaborate and give you a lot more insightful and emotional information. So the example that I give in the course from a real life experience, as far as like, why is this powerful? When I, from a conversation I had with a prospective client here in Nashville, where music's a big thing, by the way, I had asked the guy, hey, what prompted you to reach out? He said, I'm in my 50s and I need to start figuring out ways to save for retirement. Great. Perfect. Classic answer. One that we've probably all heard before. But then I asked, why now? I hear you on that. Here's the thing. You're 50. You were 52 months ago. You'll be 52 months from now. You'll be 52 2 years from now. I imagine there's probably a reason that you reached out now. I'm curious what that might be. And this is where it got good. This is why I love this question so much. He said, so I work in concert management. A couple of weeks ago, we were out setting up for a show. And one of the guys that I work with, 73-year-old, I saw him bent over after he'd been hauling some heavy equipment. And naturally, he looked miserable. So naturally, I went to him and I checked on him to make sure everything's okay. He goes, I'm tired of this and I would give anything to walk away. And so my natural question was, why don't you? And when I asked him, he said, because I didn't do a good enough job saving when I was young. Whatever you do, don't be like me. The guy I was talking to goes, I realized in that moment, because of him, that I don't want to be the 73-year-old that hates his life and doesn't have the ability to walk away. I want the freedom to walk away if I want to. So many people tell you, ask that question of what prompted you to reach out. It's a great question, but it's not the best question. The best question comes after that. Not just what prompted you to reach out, but why now? Why now is going to reveal the more emotional, in-depth response that you need to know. Because as soon as you know that person goes, hey, I don't want to be the 73-year-old that hates my life, you've now been armed with the information that you need to provide the value of what you do. What you do is no longer about helping him retire. It's about making sure he's not the 73-year-old that hates his life. And again, we talk through all this in more depth in the course. Last thing, we've been through what goes on in the prospect's mind. We talked about prepping the prospect for success, navigating the trust zone, the two-question framework that should be a part of every single prospect meeting. Last thing is what everybody's wondering, or I guess everybody's favorite topic, which is, what about the close? How do I close? The close is always awkward. I've always heard ABC, always be closing. Coffee for closers. I've watched these Wall Street movies. Let's reframe closing just a little bit. If you've done a good enough job up to this point, you've helped them navigate the conversation to decide what it is that they need to do. You don't need to close. Again, you're not there to close. You're there to help arm them with the information that they need to make the decision that's best for them and for their family. So when it comes to how do I quote unquote close, or how do I end these conversations, so many people will tell you need to close for the business. What I'm here to tell you, well, actually, let me say it like this. There are people that will tell you, on one hand, you need to close and ask for the business. On the other hand, you'll have people that tell you that you need to do the honorable, the noble thing and say, hey, whatever you do, don't rush it. Take some time to think about it and then get back to me and let me know. This may sound like a hot take. This may sound kind of crazy. You may have never heard this before. Spent a lot of time thinking about it. Both of those are selfish. Both of those don't work the way that they're supposed to. So what I like to do is talk to you about what I want to do, or I guess the way to think through this is what I call the platinum rule of prospecting. The platinum rule of prospect meetings. Now, if you've heard the golden rule, the golden rule is treat others the way that you want to be treated. Pretty good. Not bad. I also, when I got a little bit older and I heard about the platinum rule, I felt like the golden rule was kind of I felt duped, right? The golden rule is treat others how you want to be treated. The platinum rule goes treat others how they want to be treated. When I heard that, I went, wait, that makes way more sense. Why have I never heard that before? The best way to end a prospect meeting is the platinum rule of prospecting, which is close the way, end the meeting the way that the prospect wants to be treated. End the meeting the way that the prospect wants to end the meeting. Leave the ball in their court. Give them control. We know psychologically that people want control. They want to be able to dictate what comes next. So leave the ball in their court. Let them end it the way that they want to be treated. So there's a couple ways you can do this. Actually, I'll give you a couple ways you can do this, but there's more than a couple ways. But I just want to get your minds going a little bit as far as what this could look like and sound like. So let prospects, Let prospects proceed. I don't know why I'm struggling so much. Let prospects proceed the way that they want to proceed. So two possible questions to do that. You get to the end of the meeting. You've been through everything. Do you have any more questions? No, we've got a pretty good feel for things. Okay, great. How would you like to proceed from here? How would you like to proceed? Comes from Dan Solon. Dan Solon is great at this stuff. We had a podcast episode number 34. If you want to go back and listen to his stuff, it's awesome. One of the most popular episodes of all time. There's another way to do it. You want to leave the ball in their court. You want to give them control. You want to give them power. Let them proceed the way that they want to proceed. If you don't like that option, here's another option. And you just say something like, you know, at this point, I'm assuming you probably have some thoughts on what you want to do next. I'm assuming you probably have some thoughts on what you want to do from here. If you don't like either one of those, find something that's comfortable to you, something that works for you. The name of the game is not to force somebody to make a decision today. It's not to let them walk away and decide what they want to do in a week from now. Because neither one of those are focused on the prospect. They're focused on you and what you think is best. Let's say what's best for you, what's best for the prospect. How would you like to proceed? I'm assuming you have some thoughts on what you want to do next. Let them put them in control and let them tell you what it is that they want to do. Those are the five things. Go inside the prospect's mind. What is it that the prospect wants? What is it that they're thinking? What is it that they're feeling? Let's design a meeting around that. In the pre-meeting process, let's lower anxiety levels by prepping the prospect for success, giving them a picture of what they can expect. Number three, navigate the trust zone. The question you ask at the beginning of the meeting is either going to get them to open up or to shut up. Number four, as far as the question framework for the meeting, you should ask at least two questions. Number one is what prompted this. Number two is why now. Number five is the platinum rule. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time with this. Let prospects proceed the way that they want to proceed. If you can do these five things, it's instantly going to elevate your meetings to another level. If you want to go more in depth, if you want a more prescriptive process, if you want a more dialed in process from pre-meeting to the question framework in the meeting to post-meeting and the resources to use in that process, like a pre-meeting email, a document to use in the meeting, a post-meeting email. If you want to dive into all those things, go check out the course. Again, it's the ultimate intro meeting. It walks through every single one of those things and arms you with the information you need to deliver the ultimate intro meeting. Otherwise, you can go check out episode number 86, The Collection of Wisdom to Deliver to Conduct the Ultimate Intro Meeting. And if nothing else, always remember, plans and pie charts don't change lives. People do.
For more information on this podcast and previous podcasts, go to www.wiredplanning.com. where you'll find a collection of podcasts, articles, and resources with even more practical tips and insights on how to master the human side of money.